Welcome to My Worst Date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
I'm Christina.
And today we have a very special guest with us. I am so thrilled. This is a friend of mine, Little Miss Marxist. She is an education guru by day and a TikToker by night. And she is, she's very special to me. I'm very excited to have you here. Little Miss Speaks the Truth, I think, is what your title should be. But Little Miss Marxist, welcome.
Thank you for having me, ladies.
Of course.
Very excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about your platform, you know, where it started, how you began, you know, who you speak to.
Okay. I started a TikTok in about 2021. So we were in the middle of the pandemic and there was all of this crazy stuff happening in the United States and I wanted a place to talk about it. And so I just started talking into my phone on TikTok, and within 3 weeks I had 5,000 followers and I was like, oh my gosh, this is growing really quickly. So I kept going and now I have it on, I'm pretty much on all major platforms. So it just kind of grew by itself overnight. I had no idea it was going to do that.
Yeah. Just kind of blossomed in a way.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you really said a lot right there, right? Like, I think a lot was going on. We're like, I need to just let this out. Like, who do I tell this insanity to? Because sometimes you just, with all the things going on, you're just like, is this, am I being punked? Is this real right now?
It's finding that like community, which is what TikTok is so great for. Totally. Social media is great for that in general. But I mean, it was clear, it was obvious that like, this is something that other people were feeling too. They were hungry for this information that you were giving. And so, yeah, I think that that's amazing. We were definitely all feeling it in 2021, but also like throughout the entire pandemic, you know.
Well, for me, it seems kind of silly to say this because I'm like, oh, I couldn't put myself out there like this. And I'm like, I have a podcast. People know way too many things about my butt and so other things.
And all of our political beliefs. I mean, we've never been shy about that on the show. We talk very openly about our political beliefs as well. So yeah, they know. They know, Christina.
But I just, I'm really admire anyone that would put themselves out there in that way and stand up for what they believe in. So it's got to be really difficult though.
It is. And it's kind of scary at times, which is why I don't put my name on any of my platforms, because specifically in the political creator space, because tensions are so high right now. But I was really shocked at the misogyny that was thrown at me, and actual physical threats of harm. And it's always from men. So it has been a little bit scary putting myself out there, but if I'm triggering them, then I know that my message is doing the right thing. And hopefully I can make more men and women come together and stand up against this type of treatment towards women specifically. So,
and you do see that happen. So I had another podcast for years, for about 5 years. Alongside this one, I had a feminist podcast as well. And it got to a point because same thing, like we were getting so many comments specifically from men that were incredibly misogynistic, either outright violent or veiled violent threats and stuff like that. And in the beginning, it's so hard not to engage. Like you want to engage, you want to interact with them or like shoot them down, but you learn that the people on your page will fight that fight for you.
Absolutely.
So you just kind of leave it alone. And then you do see, like, alongside all of these really awful, terrible comments, you see all of these people coming out in support of you as well. Yeah. And men and women.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
I'm really good at trickling something on the internet and going away and not reading my comments because in the beginning, I would read them all and when it started to get really popular, that's when it gets more nasty.
Squirrel video I did or whatever.
Don't people read the comments.
No. After a certain point, I was like, it's time for me to let this
just
one
let it live.
It's out there and I'm just not going to pay attention to anybody commenting anymore. Yeah.
I rarely read a lot of them anymore. I know that's probably not popular to say, but it's a lot, I think, on anyone's mental health, you know, to read you're ugly or you're fat and things like this. But I also keep in mind if they're talking about my physical appearance, then they have absolutely no argument to what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And that says more to them than about them than me. So
I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. It's so funny because our last episode, we talked about that too. It just kind of like the comments that people, it's just like, You took the time out of your day to post that.
Yeah.
You have no life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I really
no life.
I was thinking about that yesterday because I was scrolling on Instagram and it was like Kate Hudson, very different person.
Right.
Yeah. Kate Hudson doing her makeup. And why do I go to the comments and read the comments? Why do I do that?
Because you know.
The vast majority, and Kate Hudson is such a like
flawless,
beautiful woman. Beautiful, you know, and like so many of the comments were criticizing her. Like saying that she's aging badly, criticizing her appearance. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, you can't read the comments because like you can't please anybody.
No.
And people, especially when it comes to women, they will find anything about your appearance to hop on.
Yeah. Well, good news is that if you were thinking that the next iteration of the web, like the metaverse, was going to be any better.
Oh, no.
I wasn't thinking that.
I was just reading an article that like any female avatar that goes in the space immediately gets essayed.
No.
Wow.
Like in the metaverse? Immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's rampant. And I was like, this is the reason why Westworld season one was like, so triggering for me because I'm like 100% that would happen.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Truth bombs. It's trying to be like a woman in the world is hard enough. But then like, I don't know why people think that it's okay to do that behavior online because I do feel like it is just as triggering.
Oh, yeah.
And it's you know what I mean? Like, if they're going to commit acts like this online, this means that they're either fantasizing about or thinking about or comfortable enough to say that they want to do these things online, which that's just as dangerous.
Absolutely.
That they feel emboldened to say these things and do these things online when, if you think about it, in the years before the last president— this was never acceptable. No, women were not treated like this. Yes, in history, things have been really bad. But for a long time, we kept on moving forward. And now they're trying to drag us back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, people are just really, really emboldened right now. For the last, basically, you're right. Yeah, since, you know, 2016. Yeah, like since 2016, people have just become more and more emboldened. This stuff has always existed.
Yes,
you know, like microaggressions towards women, people of color, people in marginalized groups. It's always existed. But the way that people will out and out say things online, like, and I understand it's like you have the anonymity of being online, but these are people's real names, real profile pages, public Instagrams with your kids on there and saying just the most vile, like racist, hateful things.
And they're putting their real thoughts out there. So it's not just typing on a keyboard. This person's actually thinking that, which is terrifying in a way.
Yeah, it is terrifying because it'll escalate. Yeah. You know,
the boldness.
Well, we were talking right before it started, like being a content creator, especially in the political space, it has to have affected your dating life.
Oh, yes.
So tell us about that. Like, how's it been since 2021?
I think dating in general is difficult for anyone.
I mean, this is
a national thing because I have girlfriends in New York who are going through the same thing. I think it's difficult for anyone, but I went on a date with a guy and I didn't know he knew who I was until we sat down. And then he's like, well, hi, Little Miss Marxist. And I was like,
that's really awkward.
It freaked me out because I didn't know if it was a friend or a foe, right? I'm like, okay, is this, and I hate this word, is this a fan or is this someone who commented that they wanted to murder me?
Yeah, you know?
Right.
And I just kind of laughed and did the feminine thing where you're like, oh, no big deal. And I kept trying to steer away from it, but that was the only thing you wanted to talk about.
Wow.
So it wasn't a dangerous situation, but I'm like, this is weird. And why wouldn't you tell me that before
we met?
Well, we had talked for a couple weeks before this happened because I don't just go out on a date like that. And I was
really weird. Then.
I was super creeped out by it.
So you talked for a while.
We talked for like 2 weeks before I went on a real
date. And all he wants to talk about is your online presence. That's very scary.
Super
I would
creepy.
Feel very
super
unsafe
creepy.
By that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we did, you know, a really quick dinner. And then I'm like, oh, I have to film tomorrow. So I got to go home. And I block the number immediately. And then I go through the cycle of deleting the dating apps and not doing anything and then going back.
Vicious cycle.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
It's a cycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I got to know, rating the dating apps, what's your favorite? What's your least favorite?
Well, my story, we'll go into that one later. My worst date story goes to a dating app, but the one I had the most success with is Hinge. Mm-hmm. I hated Bumble. I only went on a handful of dates.
We hear that all the time. Bumble is the worst. Like, seriously, everybody is like, Bumble was so supposed weird. To be the best one.
It was supposed to be, like,
yeah.
right? Like,
this was the feminist dating app.
Yeah. But I cater to women.
The men that I met on there, at least, you know, coming at it from like a cis hetero way, they were all like pretending.
Yes.
Bumble was the fakest.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah,
agree.
Wow. Tinder people were right out there with their bullshit, you know, for the most part. Yeah. It's spicy.
Wild, wild west
and they,
on there.
Yeah, but they were like real. But Bumble, it was
know.
Like,
yeah, I'd rather know.
I'd rather know. Yeah, it's a lot of people pretending to be, like you were saying earlier, where they're like, oh, I'm politically moderate. And I'm like,
red
you
flag.
Learn real quick. Red that flag. That's just somebody that's too much of a pussy to say that they're a Republican.
100%. My feeling on it is if they have moderate in their profile, just like you said, they're too pussy to put that they're Republican, but they enjoy leftist women, our conversation and hanging out with us, and they want to have sex with us, but they know we would never date them if they had Republican in their profile.
Yep.
So you can always I can always tell by the second or third date, because I'll trickle in questions, just kind of seeing how they feel about something. And I'm like, they'll reveal themselves really, really quickly.
Yeah. Wow.
Really quickly.
It's like they can't help themselves, can they?
No, but they're like, I'm for women's rights.
But if there's a butt coming, you're 100%, like, oh, red flag.
100%.
I think it's just going a little too far these days.
You know, I just really feel like men should have, you know, a bit of a say in it, you know? Like,
oh my God.
They don't even know how tampons work. Yeah. They want to shut all their rights, you know? But Hinge, I met someone that I dated on Hinge for like a year and a half. So
nice.
That was my most successful one. But the current person I'm dating, I just met normally.
And in life, in the wild.
Ooh. Wow.
Listen, I keep saying it. It's a trend that's happening. Mm-hmm. People are sick of like just like it's almost phony. And especially with like, I think AI coming out and like all these things that are like so fake in our lives. I think people are like, I just want to meet a real person in mm-hmm. real world and a coffee shop or at the grocery store right. or
yeah, I mean,
even at a bar, you know,
at this point, you would have no idea if right. you're talking to a real person That's or if right. you're talking mm-hmm. to ChatGPT.
Well, yeah. even if you're talking to a real person, everything is so curated or has the possibility to be so curated online.
Right.
So it's just like, even if you're talking to a real person, it is also they're putting forward exactly what they want you to see.
That's right.
You know?
Well, yeah. So. And I kind of always take it back. I did a video about this a while ago, but my 31 flavors theory, right? So at any moment on any day, you could swipe and match with 50 people, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. A guy could, or a woman, either or, could go on multiple dates a day, 7 days a week, and there's so many choices, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to Baskin Robbins and you want to get some ice cream, but you don't really know what you want. So you start like tasting with the little mm-hmm. pink spoons, like yes. going all the way mm-hmm. down the line. But by the time you're at to the end, you don't even want a full ice cream anymore. And you're sick because you've tasted so many different kinds. So I think also, I mean, in the 90s, like, you know, the 2000s and our late teens and 20s, you just met someone and you dated. There wasn't all of these available options right at the swipe of your fingertip.
Right.
And so I don't think people really get to know one person. They might see one thing they maybe don't like or something that kind of that makes them unattracted to them. And they just go on to the next mm-hmm. person when
yeah.
love is something I think that grows and you get to know the quirks of your person and stuff. But it's such a swiping mentality mm-hmm. now that they don't spend any amount of time on one person. So that's why there's so many lonely people. They
right.
have all of this yeah. access, but everyone's lonely.
Right? Yeah. It ultimately leads to like real unhappiness. Like I was reading an article about why millennials have the highest rate of depression and anxiety of like previous generations of all generations.
Yeah.
And it's in part, and one of the reasons was because like we have too many choices.
Yeah.
There's like choice fatigue.
Yeah.
Like not just in terms of like
the human brain can only handle like
so
six.
Right.
I think.
And so we get overwhelmed and the brain just shuts down. And that's true for dating. And it's also true for like streaming services. Like how many nights have you been sitting there? Like you spend an hour and a half trying to decide what to watch.
And then you right. don't watch right. anything.
And you don't watch anything. You get like, on TikTok, right?
It's you're also like, the reason why so Trader true. Joe's is the most profitable grocery store chain because they wow. identified the fact that you have too many choices at a regular grocery store. So they're more profitable per square foot at Trader Joe's because they give you one choice. If you want taco shells, there's one type of taco shell. Yeah. That's it. Trader you don't Jose's need like taco shells. Five yeah. different. Trader Jose's.
That's what they call it there.
You're so right.
No, they call it Trader Jose's.
Oh man!
It, wow, it's a little. Feels it's a little.
It's a little bit. It's questionable.
But yeah, I mean, that's I completely agree with you on the dating app theory. I think there's so many choices that you just feel like if you see like one little hiccup, oh, it's easy. I've got the entire world What's in my next? Pocket. Yeah. I could date.
It gives the illusion of you can find perfection. Yeah. Right? Yes. It's just like you can tweak it until it's just right. So if you like date somebody and there's one little thing you don't like, you're like, well, the next person might not have that flaw. Right. So, and it's just not true. There's always going to be stuff about someone you don't like.
Yeah. I think it's funny because I've been recently, I would just watch Indian Matchmaker last night. And
I watched it too.
And it's so funny because I find that she kind of has the Trader Jose's mentality, which is here is the option I picked for you, especially with, I think, more her pickiest people. Yeah. And she's like, you're not going to get 100%. Mm-hmm. You're going to grow to love 100%.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, that's such a really important statement because like, I don't want them to be bald. I don't want them to be this. Yeah. I don't want them to, you know, I want them to speak this language. I want them to be specifically that. And like, one of the things was like, I think about a religion and she was like, he was like, I want her to be this religion. And she's like, he's like, but I don't keep to that religion. He's like, I eat meat and I do this and that. And she was like, so why does it matter to you? Why is that so important on your list of things? And he's just like, I guess it just is. It's funny though, because people have made these like criteria, like this like checklist of things that, like you said, like, oh, well, this person has a percentage of the checklist, but doesn't have this one thing. Like the one guy was dating a girl for a long, like 3 or 4 dates, and they seemed to be getting on really well, but she didn't speak Hindi. And that was like on his list.
Deal breaker.
Yeah.
And it was like, why does that really matter so much? Why is that so important?
You're setting yourself up to be unhappy.
Yeah. And again,
that was perfect.
Because we've had so many options, because we've been able to really dial in on everything else that we do in our lives, it's made dating, picking that person so, you know, we're just getting so minutiae on every little tiny thing. So
I think it's also how people present themselves online. So men specifically, I'm sure women do it too, but I can only speak from my space in this. I went on online dating because I was looking to really meet somebody because I would like to have a relationship, but I don't think a lot of people present themselves accurately for what they're looking for. They're not looking for a relationship. The guy in the Tesla is looking to date as many girls this week as possible, but they present themselves and they say they're seeking a relationship, or you go on some dates and they're like, I really like you. Like, I see this going somewhere, but really they're just trying to go down your pants. They're not really trying to date you in that way. And you know that because they're not asking these important questions about who you are as a person or your faith or your beliefs or things that are important to you, where you see yourself in 5 years. And I just think if more people presented themselves like, I'm just looking for a friends with benefits, it'd be a lot better place for dating everybody because then those folks could match up with each other.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that like because we've talked about that many times where it's just like, just be honest. There are so many people out there, you know, like
you'll find your match.
You will find somebody who's like just DTF, right? Like that's what they want too, you know? And like in theory, it's like, yeah, that makes the most sense. But I feel like these people, it's a pursuit thing and it's kind of like what you were saying about like that being that hyper specificity. That's like, doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. They want to have sex with the kind of girl who wants to have a relationship.
A conquest.
It's a conquest. It's a conquest. They want to see if they can like present themselves as the kind of person that the kind of person who wants to be in a relationship would want.
Yeah. I think that the other side of that coin too, Keegan, and to speak to that, is that women haven't for years been allowed to be the kind of species that just wants sex. So how dare a woman? And if a woman is the kind of person who's just DTF, what kind of woman is she?
Exactly.
You know, that's really the coded language in that anyway, right? So you're exactly right. They want to fuck the person who wants the relationship because they're not DTF.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's the Madonna whore thing.
Yes, it is absolutely the Madonna whore thing.
Yeah.
I actually read an article about specifically Republican men going on Conquest to say that they slept with a liberal girl, which I think is so crazy because if you despise us so much, why are you championing trying to sleep with us? And it's like, I know you got a leftist girl kink. Yeah. I know you do. It comes from somewhere. Yeah. But they're actively going online to try and only get liberal girls, which I just think that's nuts.
It's just because we're hotter.
And smarter.
And smarter, obviously. Did you say and superior?
Smarter. Well,
yes, that helps. Yes. We're smarter. We're funnier. We're cooler.
Nailed it.
I mean,
there we go.
It's just a personal opinion, but.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there was all of that data. I can't remember where it's from now, but basically saying that, like, conservatives just are not funny. they're just like, that's why there aren't a lot of, like, really successful conservative comedians, because it's just like they're just not funny. No. There's like something about like that worldview that just
look at Roseanne.
It's punching down, is what it is.
Yeah.
And punching down isn't funny. It's awkward and it makes people feel bad. So
look at Roseanne. She used to be liberal. She used to be funny. And she started taking sleeping medication and became a Nazi, I guess. I don't know.
Is that how that side works? Effects are bitch, man.
You didn't like her set at Joe Rogan's podcast festival stand-up festival where her brought the house down was my pronouns are kiss my ass was her
yes
that was her number one big hitter of the night
out the door.
Wow.
And thank you very much.
Very funny. very funny humor.
Very funny. Well, tell us, I am dying to know, what is your worst date?
My worst date, I was thinking about this before I came on. My worst date was my very first and last Tinder date.
Wow. You really like a while ago. Got in on Tinder and got right off.
Yeah. So this is, I had just got divorced. So I was in a relationship for almost 10 years, my
Congratulations.
Entire 20s. It was the best.
Yeah.
It is. It really is. But we were together my entire 20s. Mm-hmm. So I really hadn't ever dated like an adult. And I moved 2 hours away from where we had lived, which is a really small town. I moved to Orange County for the first time, and I wanted to date someone that was completely different from what I was normally doing. But also, this was right when online dating started, and I was afraid. You know, this was before Uber, too, where you just get in a car with a stranger, and I was really freaked out about going on a blind date or even getting on an app. And my couple of girlfriends that were on it were like, it's time, you know, like it's time to get out there, you know, because it had been like a year since the divorce. And I was like, okay, like, I think I'm ready to start dating. Mm-hmm. So I matched with this guy who was totally clean cut. And my ex was, you know, tattooed and kind of blue collar punk rock. And I wanted something very different. Clean cut, supposedly a Harvard graduate. He was a lawyer. He looked really handsome. And I was like, okay, so we matched and we're talking for a couple of weeks. Cause I didn't even know if I was going to go out with him. I was so scared. And it's the night of the date and I'm so nervous. It's my first blind date in my whole life. And I'm 30,
you know,
I was like, this is so weird. So I drive and I go, and we talked on the phone, and he was nice on the phone, and I was like, this is going to be fine.
It's going to be great.
This is going to be fine.
Yeah.
This is fine. So I get there, and I'm walking into the restaurant, and I walk right past him, and he calls me by my name and grabs my elbow, and I turn around and I look at him. He was way older than what the pictures were, first of all. So the pictures were probably, I'm guessing, from college, right?
Oh, wow.
He looked like young and strapping, and he was only 34. He wasn't a lot older than me, but I was like, these pictures are old, but I'm like, okay, it's him. This
but
is
like
fine.
His pictures were like 21, like in his 20s, and
he
like
was
he's
probably
34.
In college when these pictures.
Okay. Wow,
I walked right by him. I didn't even know.
Keeping it toy.
I didn't even know it was him. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna do this. So we sit down, and the waiter comes by and orders drinks, and I get a glass of white wine, and then we start talking. But it very quickly turns into almost a debate.
Oh.
So it's like everything I said, he was kind of arguing with me.
Oh my God. Wow. I hate that.
But I'm at this stage too. I don't have the confidence in dating or anything to be like, this isn't working, buddy, and get up. So I'm just finally listening. And then
becoming more quiet and more quiet. And he keeps sending our waiter away. And I'm like, I'm starving. Like in my mind, I'm like, I'm hungry. This guy's a jerk. Like, what am I doing? So then he's like, we'll get another round. And I have almost a full glass of wine. So I'm sitting here with two glasses of wine in front of me.
No food.
No food. 2 hours goes by.
No.
And I'm like, okay, now I gotta figure out an out.
Was he just trying to get out of paying for food? Like, why?
I don't know. I don't really don't know. He just wanted to hear himself talk. And then I was in Harvard. And then and he just kept going. And I'm completely tuned out at this point. He's just a talking head at this point. And I'm like, how do I get out of here? So I excuse myself to go to the bathroom. And I take my purse. And I go around to where the bathroom is and I call my girlfriend who talked me into going on this
fucking date. You're like, however dare you.
I'm
like,
I'm never trusting you again. Never.
This is horrible. Like, and now it's on you to save me. Yeah. And she's like, just go back there and tell him you had a good time and thank you very much and leave. And I'm like, okay. And I hang up the phone and I'm standing there holding my purse awkwardly and I peek around to see how far the front door is from the table.
How quickly can I run?
And my waiter comes around the corner and he's like, honey, he's like, are you in a bad situation? Oh, and I'm like, I'm not in danger, but this is really bad. And he's all first date. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, do you want to leave? And I said, yes. And he's like, come on. And he took me through the kitchen.
Yes!
He took me through the kitchen, out the back door.
An angel on earth.
I blocked the number. I ran to my car, and then I deleted Tinder. And that was the last Tinder date I ever went on.
The only thing that can make that story better is if you and the waiter got married.
I'm pretty sure he was gay. Because he was like, oh, hon. Oh, no. I got what are we going to do? Yes, he swooped in and fairy godmother. Oh, he was like, we're all heroes. So that was it. But there's been many other bad ones.
Yeah, I mean, we get so many stories like that where people just like, and you know, normally I wouldn't advocate, I feel like pre our podcast, I wouldn't advocate people just like running out on dates, but especially for women, like you just don't know, especially with a guy like that who is coming across really aggressive. Obviously he's been drinking on an empty stomach for 2 hours. Like you can feel really unsafe.
Right. Yeah.
Rejecting someone like that. Yes. And sometimes it just feels safer just to be like, I'm just going to
bounce.
Yeah. And it's just nuts to me that I'm just like, their first date is supposed to be your best impression.
Right.
Like you're supposed to try your best to
this is someone with no self-awareness. I really feel like this is a person who doesn't have like real self-awareness. Mm-hmm. I mean, and already like, I feel like you should have permission just to like turn around and walk out if you walk in and their pictures are from 10 years ago.
Me now would be confident enough to be like, oh no, or ask for a FaceTime prior. You know, this is, it was almost like I was 30, but I was a 20-year-old because I had no experience in this space.
The same and the confidence
to be like, we're not doing this, but me now is very different.
Yeah. Right. Which is why you don't attract people like that, right?
No.
I think that's the thing too. It's like, as you become more confident and you start to love yourself more, you're going to find people who are happy with that. And that's when you start attracting the real ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I would not go on a lot of dates these days because I'll find I put like little trick questions in the early initial conversation. And I just can pick up the red flags now. And now I'm like, I'm not even going to go out with that person.
Yeah. I got to know your questions.
Yeah.
For the listeners, we need to know, like, what are your fishing line? Like, what do you put out there? What is your like red flag that comes back? You're like pulling it out and you're like, what's this?
One of them right away is like, tell me about your parents, about your family. Mm-hmm. So I come from a family. My parents are Midwestern. They're still married. They love each other. They've never gotten in a fight. Like I have a really normal mom and dad. And you can kind of tell how someone feels about relationships when they talk about their family. Like my dad left or my mom, you know, you can tell if they kind of have mommy issues or something. I want to know what their version of like a relationship is like.
Right.
And not that I have to be with someone whose parents are married, obviously, but you can really tell a lot from the answer.
The way they answer it,
on how their parent, what did they grow up watching kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
That's one of them.
I think it's an interesting tell too, because people can have come from not the best situation. And my parents are still married. My parents shouldn't be married. Like they fought all the time. I literally was that person who was like, I'm looking for anything that's not that.
Yeah.
So there's people who have come from situations where they look at it as like a learning lesson as what not to do, or they're like, this is just what love looks like.
Yeah.
And that's truly, like you said, how they speak to it says a lot.
It's how they communicate it. You know, you can tell if someone kind of has some built up stuff about something. And again,
not married parents, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's just how the person perceived it.
Right. You can tell based on how they talk about their parents. Like specifically, you know, with guys, I'm very cognizant of how they talk about their mothers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. 100%. And if there's a lot of like vitriol there, like if your parents are divorced and you're putting a lot of blame on one parent or the other, and there's a lot of like baggage there, you can pick up on that pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Or my mom has a key to the house and my mom's comes over 5 times a week. Like the whole mom thing is very like strange to me because it creates just a strange dynamic in how he's going to view you as a partner as well. What he's expecting of you in terms of treatment.
Yeah. The way my whole body was like.
Yes.
Oh, the ick. The ick factor.
I hope that our generation is doing a better job of raising sons. Do you know what I mean?
I think half are, but there's this other half of men growing up right now. You know, you talked about Joe Rogan and specifically some of these other right wing leaning,
like Andrew Tate,
Stephen Crowder, all of these.
Stephen Crowder is divorced right now.
Oh my God, dude, he told on himself when he's like, because she's legally allowed to do that. I immediately got chills and I told, I was like, Eric, we're gonna have to watch this kind of thing because they said the quiet part,
no fault divorce. It's already being talked about in Texas, which no fault divorce is when a woman is. Or anyone is allowed to leave a marriage without proving that something happened.
Correct. And thank God for it because, I'm like, that's the reason why I'm not married anymore. And it's great. Yeah. And it was easy. And
in the 1980s, was it the 80s that they, I should know the date exactly, but they made no fault divorce legal, I believe, in the 80s. And the suicide rate of women dropped like 27% because women weren't forced to stay in these marriages.
The accidental
anymore.
Husband deaths dropped. It was.
Yes.
Yeah, we could go back to what's her name? The Julia Tofana or whatever.
Aqua Tofana. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very scary. And I would like to say that we're in a generation now where women just wouldn't get married. I mean, we've seen the number of women wanting to get married at all decrease significantly.
And having children.
Well, it's bad for us.
Because historically, it's been very bad for us.
Yeah.
And so I would like to think that if they came for no-fault divorces, women would just stop getting married. But unfortunately, it's happening in these states that have very conservative values.
Yes.
Where women get married very young. I actually saw a video kind of taking it slightly different direction, but I saw a video with Chelsea Clinton, and I guess like her platform right now is she's really doing a lot of work to prevent child marriage because that's legal in so many states still.
That's
and one of the scary things is like legally a child could get married at like 15. Oftentimes they're marrying somebody much older, their abuser, but they're not legally allowed to divorce without their husband's permission.
Isn't that outrageous?
Yes.
Crazy.
It's wild. Yes.
And they can't read specific books and they can't vote and they can't have a job or a credit
a
card, but
license.
They can get married and give birth to babies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all they want us for anyway, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the end goal. Create more consumers, create more workers. I mean, talk about telling on yourself. Wasn't it the Tennessee guy who was like, it's either Tennessee or Kentucky. And he was like, we have all these immigrants here working because we're not having children anymore. And I'm like,
Tennessee, I believe.
Yeah, I think it was Tennessee. You're like, sir, do you hear what you're saying right now?
No. So but it also goes back to racism as well, because really, they want more white babies because America is so diverse now. And there's not enough white babies to keep this super religious right-wing platform going. So that's another big reason why they're trying to do it as well.
I'm so glad that we are here to bring everybody's mood up today.
We've got Oscar, our producer over here, just nodding. He's like, wow, what a bummer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, the joys. So I kind of went on a tangent on that last fishing line, but I think this is stuff that, like, to me, if I was dating right now, this is the stuff I want to know. I want to know some of your other fishing lines to find those red flags. What else do you
How they speak about their ex-girlfriends or partners.
Oh, that's a big one for me. That's a huge one for me.
If they're all crazy, he's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that's we all have bad breakups, right? You know, but you can speak about a relationship without
saying something like that. And so that is one of the first things mm-hmm. I asked you.
Yeah. That's a big one for me when I was dating. If someone's able to acknowledge their part in a relationship ending, that is such a turn on for me. This is my marriage. The words "I'm sorry" never uttered ever. And so it was very triggering for me if somebody can't process and understand their part in anything, in any kind of mistake or argument and that kind of thing, be like, oh yeah, this really upsets me, but I also, I didn't present this in the right way. I'm like,
that comes with maturity.
Emotional maturity.
Yeah, it's a level of maturity that you get to where you can say like, you know, like I felt really hurt by all of these things that this person did, but you know, there's two people in this relationship and like I can accept my part and own my part as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and anybody who can't do that, emotionally immature, and you need to walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. What about red flags on the dating profile? Like, is there something other than saying they're moderate or conservative? I assume that those are automatic.
Oh, yeah. But when they put their love languages in their profile. Because they're like, my love language are physical touch and gifts.
Oh, it's always physical touch.
And it's like he's setting his expectation of how he wants you to treat him before you've even dated. This is his expectation when you're reading his profile.
Right.
Like, there's a big one for sure.
Yeah.
Shirtless pics. I know that's probably a lot of people say that, but if every single picture is him with his shirt off in the mirror, I could not be turned off by that.
Well, you know what your weekends are going to be. At the gym, doing a run. He's probably that guy whose family is like takes like marathons and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
oh.
Yeah. You got to get used to that big whey protein thing on your counter.
On top of the fridge.
Yeah. That big some pre-workout
before we go to the bedroom, baby. But, you know, got some creatine in me, ready to go.
Yeah. Another one. I know this is going to sound weird too, but when they're like, they say they don't have kids and then they have pictures with other people's little kids in their profiles. It's like, even if it's your niece or nephew, it's kind of weird. You're saying like, look, I'm good with kids here.
I'm good with kids.
It's a little creepy vibes.
Gives you hits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. But yeah, I think probably a lot of guys look at that and they're like, oh, I put this in so she knows I'm a nurturer. I care. But yeah,
I think
like,
weird
it's
stuff.
It's try hard. Yeah, it's try hard. It is.
Mine is cars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, posing with a car or a fish, any dead animal.
Yes, an animal.
Yeah.
Cars and dead animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coming not my from vibe. Missouri, listen, I've been tempted to download Tinder when I'm back home just to see. Because I'm like, you know, it's trucks.
Yep.
It's camo. Oh, yeah. It's fish and deer. Mm-hmm. And it's those like weird 2002 sunglasses that wrap around on the back of the head.
Ooh, the NASCAR sunglasses.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, that's just red flag automatically. Oh, those sunglasses are a red flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see somebody in a Bass Pro hat and you're like, are they wearing it ironically or not? Because it's like, people, you know.
I just always assume it's not. I'm gonna go with, I'm from Ohio. You gotta assume it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also Machu Picchu pictures used to bother me.
Specifically.
Like a well-traveled look.
When but you were dating, it was specifically Machu Picchu.
I saw so many. I was like, are they offering a fucking deal or something? Everybody's going there? Because it was like
a Machu Picchu Groupon, right?
Because everyone was taking that same selfie where you could see Machu Picchu in the background.
Is
and I'm like,
green screen? Are we?
Yeah.
Are we
sure? Like, what is happening?
AI generated.
I love travel. I love going to places, but specifically, like this exact picture, I saw so many dudes
in the same spot.
It is on my hit list, but
I know it looks cool.
Love to go.
Yeah, but
they're just showing off that they could climb all those stairs. That's really what it is. They're like, I'm in shape.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to take my shirt off.
I've
just
got
believe.
Good cardiovascular health.
Yep.
Another one is all professional pictures.
Mm. Oh, like LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
I'm like, is he a real estate agent?
Or is he an actor?
Insurance.
Are these headshots?
Yes. Oh, like, I just think it's so strange and unnatural.
Yeah.
Do people in LA put their headshots on their Tinder?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
I bet they do.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they're great pictures. I get it. It's hard to get a good picture of yourself. And usually mm-hmm. you've spent a lot of money on headshots. I understand, but I would be, I haven't had many headshots in my life. I would be turned off by just
I just think it's so headshots. Weird yeah. and not mm-hmm. personal.
It's not
and
personal. No.
He doesn't have any friends. He didn't, you know, go somewhere. He had a photographer follow yeah. him around all afternoon and take pictures oh. in different outfits. It's just really mm-hmm. weird to me.
Well, oh, yeah, God, I mean, it feels fake too.
Well, it is like, fake. It is fake because yeah. you like what you're trying to do is like present yourself as many different people as possible. So you're like, who will the real Slim Shady please stand up? Like, right? Which yeah. one yeah. are you? I don't know. Likewise, whenever it's just pictures of them with other people and you're like, which one yeah, are
I know.
You?
And I've gotten tricked. Oh. I've been bamboozled that way. I thought it was the hot friend, and it was.
I got bamboozled. Not. That's my worst date. Was a bamboozle.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to two guys, like I'd met at a bar or something, and I thought it was the other one who'd contacted me, and that was my worst date. I was mm-hmm. like, he showed up in the same black turtleneck. We were both oh, yeah. Steve Jobs'd it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also vibe. Went out on a date with somebody who it was a headshot photo, didn't look anything like their headshot photo. And then I mm-hmm. had to listen to them speak about the movie that they were trying to get produced
oh,
like
great.
The whole time.
Oh, no. So he's like
the
actor, producer,
whole time. Yes. Writer, yes. And director. He's talking about like getting investors and everything. And it was just like,
are you pitching this to me right now?
It felt like that.
It's a pitch meeting.
Yeah. It felt like a pitch
You're
meeting.
You're like, you know, I don't work for Netflix. Like, I can't help you on this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I've gotten a couple times. I'm so glad you look like your pictures. And for me, I was like, because I had that one day many years ago where he didn't mm-hmm. look like it, but I couldn't imagine catfishing somebody and then going on a date and not like, looking anything like what you look like.
The anxiety that it would totally. Give me to right. do that. I mean, these people really have like no shame to just show up and act like nothing's wrong because yeah. I would be sweating so much. If I posted pictures where I was like face tuned to hell.
Yep.
And then I showed up in real life, like I couldn't handle that. Yeah,
well, yeah. I had to be careful because at the time I was going back and forth between like straightening my hair and then having curly hair. Mm-hmm. And I had some people not happy about which one I showed up with.
Like, wow.
I do look quite different if my hair is straight versus yeah, curly.
Me too.
But yeah, I had to make a decision, like be like, well, I mean,
who am I?
Who am I?
Am I curly Christina or am I straight?
Exactly.
Christina?
Well, I'm glad I chose curly,
yeah.
if I'm honest.
Good
but
choice.
But yeah, that was a big thing. I would get comments and then I would feel bad. And then I put my height on my profile for a while because I got shit on for not disclosing my height because I'm tall.
Not disclosing.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, how dare you?
I'm sorry, this wasn't in the contract that I read. You did not disclose.
I know. And I feel like my pictures, I mean, you could tell like I'm like very tall, especially in pictures. With other people, you can see I'm significantly taller than other people in the photo. Like you can infer that I am tall from photos that I, you know, it's not trigonometry. It's well, pretty
maybe they
easy.
Think that all your friends are like 4'11". Yeah.
Well, that goes to another red flag because if it says that he's 5'11" in his bio, it's a lie. He's 5'9". There's no
Amen.
Way he's 5'11".
We had a conversation before. I think Sydney, who was a guest, who said That's the right. exact same thing. She's like, 5'11" is a lie 100% of the time.
Yep.
100.
But tall guys, they'll be like, I am 6'6". And then when you meet him, you know he's 6'6", and yep. he's mm-hmm. talked loud and proud about it.
Yeah.
But it's always the guys who are like, I'm 5'11", I'm almost 6 foot, and it's like, sir,
no, sir
I'm
not.
In heels and you are not.
Yep.
I'm 5'1", I'm 5'1", and we're eye level, bro.
Yep.
No.
And these ain't 10-inch heels,
no.
okay?
10-inch so, heels.
Which there's nothing wrong with a short king, but like, no. Learn yourself accurately, mister.
Yes.
Like,
exactly.
You know, say
that's
it.
The thing is like, just be honest. Like, I don't care. Like, honestly, yes. I do not care if I was going on a date with somebody who is like 5'7", or
no,
whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about
I'm
that.
Married a short
but
king.
I do care about is you telling me one thing
yes.
and me showing up and seeing something else, because then I'm like, what else are you
Well, yeah, it reeks of insecurity. Absolutely. You know, yes. Really? Yeah.
It's the colored contacts of the day, isn't it?
Absolutely.
5'11 is like your green-eyed color contacts. You're like,
You're like, eventually you're going to have to take those out. You know that, right?
Yeah, but it's so true. Like, if they're going to fib about something like that, yeah,
so
there is way bigger stuff that they're exactly lying right about. It's a total red flag.
Yeah. Why are you so – I mean, I don't know. I feel for – everybody, I feel like all of our like beauty standards are made up. Beauty standards are tough to live with, and I think that's hard for everybody across the board.
For sure,
harder on women.
Yeah,
but it's hard on men too. You know, yeah. And I understand that lately, like in the last 10 years, height has been a big deal for some reason. So I understand that might be an insecurity for people. The same way, like everybody has insecurities. I get it, but it's so much more sexy to just like be confident in your skin. Just own it. Just own what you got.
We love a short king. I've always dated people that are as tall as me or shorter. I have gone on dates with a few guys that were tall because I was like, oh, I can wear heels. I can look up at somebody. That's nice. But more, it's like so low on the list. It's not even something I would consider in dating, especially if the guy is confident. The few times where I've been like on dates with shorter people and dumped them, it's because they were insecure about it. And they made me feel bad for just
existing.
And yeah. I'm like, well,
imagine
this is not going to work. But yeah, no, that's big on TikTok right now, right? Mm-hmm. The whole what the female gaze is and what we're really interested in, and then what Pedro guys Pascal think that we're interested in. Oh my God,
Andrew
Pedro
Tate. Not
Pascal not at the Met Gala with his
slutty little knees. Little knees.
He is the daddy of the internet right now.
And that red coat, I was like,
yes.
And see, fire he's signs. Like kind of silly.
Yes.
I think part of his sex appeal, though, is that he's not this masculine guy.
Unassuming.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't feel the need to beat his chest. And I think that that's where there's a lot of confusion with men and women is they think we want this alpha. Yeah. And we really just want.
Well, also a lion does not have to say he's a fucking lion.
100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what, as soon as somebody starts talking about alpha male, I'm like, goodbye. Because that's not alpha at all.
Yes.
To call yourself alpha.
100%.
That's,
I was talking to a girlfriend of mine and she was saying that she broke up with a guy recently because of the podcasts he listens to. She's like,
wow.
Not Fab Fit Fun. That is something completely different. Yeah.
Great. Now we're never going to get their sponsorship.
But it was like that. Those two guys. You would know if you saw them because they were all over TikTok for a while. And it's like Fit Something. I think the guy is the one who had all the Plan B in the drawer. That guy.
Yes. Oh, yes. And look exactly
and
like yes.
The guy she was dating listened to that podcast, and she was like, "This isn't going to work." No. Like she broke up with him because she was like,
"No, thank you.
I got to ask you, like, how do you feel about this podcast for real? Like, do you really feel like you're taking advice from these guys?" And he's like, yeah. And she's like, no, we're done.
Ain't for me.
This is not going to work.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
It ain't
yeah.
for me. Mm-hmm. Wow.
You got to have like shared values. It's not like you guys have to consume all of the same things.
Oh,
but
truly. Right.
Yeah. They're definitely.
I mean, Keegan and I talked about that on the way here. She's like, I went to the Fish concert.
Like, it's not my thing, but it's his thing, so I will support.
Well, also, but the Fish concert is not like trying to take away your rights.
That's true. Exactly right. I feel like the opposite, honestly. I feel like that group of hippies are like, yeah, do whatever you want.
They're the do whatever you want. It's sex.
But also, I don't really listen to podcasts to gain their ideas. You know, I'm listening to storytelling and things like that, but these specific type of men's podcast, it's complete misogyny,
right?
And they're telling them how to get women and how to act as a man and stuff. And it's like, if you're dating someone that feels that he needs to get his advice from a guy like Andrew Tate or something like that, why would you want to be with someone like that? Like he can't make his own decisions as a man about what type of man he wants to be. He has to go to a podcast bashing women to decide that who he's going to be as a man today.
I do feel like whatever you are consuming regularly. So if you are listening to nothing but these podcasts, it's just Joe Rogan, Andrew Tate, the fucking Plan B guy. And that's all you're listening to all the time. Whether or not you came into it with the idea of like, I am going to shape my world around this person's beliefs.
Yeah.
Like it is going, you're just mainlining it right into your brain. It's just making all of these neuropathways in your brain because that's all you're consuming. And
right.
It will affect your beliefs and your behavior. Like, I just don't see how it can't.
Agree.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Agree. Long term. It's true. But the female gaze is totally different. And when they really come down to what is, who are the people that we're interested in? It's not that beefy.
No,
like, no.
Stocky, like, man. It's the Pedro Pascal, the guy who can laugh
the
at
guy,
himself.
Oh, sense of humor. Yeah. Nice. Oh. Kind.
I know.
Yeah.
Emotionally available.
Yes. Well, sometimes it's line cook summer. So emotionally available. Line cook summer?
No.
Oh,
enlighten me.
Well, okay.
Line cook summer. Do you remember, maybe it was last year when Hulu came out with that show, The Bear?
Okay.
That took place in a restaurant or whatever. And was like the height of Pete Davidson dating everybody. Travis
Barker
and stuff. So line cook summer, like the guy that works the line. So sometimes.
Which you know is a mistake. You look at them and you're like,
they're not emotionally available.
No.
You are going to be like, you know, fucking in a van.
They're gonna,
or
they're
kind of fun, but they're not marriage material.
Yeah, they're gonna tear you up.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be good.
Yeah. What did you say on the podcast
there? Wore out, tore out.
Oh Jesus.
I am definitely mess. Gonna put that one in the bank and use it at some point.
Oh, I'm gonna make a t-shirt. merch myworstdatepodcast.com. So it's gonna be great.
Just wore out, tore out.
Yeah, but no, that's the person that's just like, you hook up, it's always like the pillow doesn't have a pillowcase. Oh, you know, they don't have a top.
Mattress is color on the yellow. Floor.
Yes, mattress is on the floor. They've got the milk crate as a coffee or as a coffee table and or end
side
table.
Yeah.
No
Crown
paper
Royal
in the house.
Bag. Oh.
Yes.
No toilet paper.
There's not. Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Yeah.
The Crown Royal drip. That's where they store their weed. It's in the Crown Royal bag.
The Crown Royal bag holds something. Yeah, exactly. But that's
his rent and his weed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so ick, but the sex is just always, it's always 100 out of 100. And you're like,
you can't marry that guy.
You cannot.
You can't.
No, because you can't change him. And when you're younger, you think, hey, the sex is good. The potential is, you cannot change a line cook. No. If they're a line cook in their heart, that's who they're
be. They are.
And you need to just catch and release, you know?
Yeah. Enjoy your time together. Yeah.
Release them out.
Yeah.
Share the line cook, but don't, you can't marry the line cook. No.
It's true though. You know, we all have one in our past. I'm thinking of mine right now.
Reminiscing. About that time.
Oh, yeah. It smells vaguely of mildew, but
fun times.
Yeah. My line cook was when I was living in those shared apartments that we had when I worked at Shadowbox.
Yeah.
And he was a neighbor in the apartment.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
And he lived with who would later become my roommate that left the cheese under the couch.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Yeah,
the way my mind is like, who You're is like, this guy?
Who are all these people? First of all,
I know at least
cheese under the couch.
You know the cheese under the couch.
I do,
and you also know the other roommate that I had that had the Mountain Dew and the pile of ashy cigarettes and smoked inside.
I also know that
so,
guy.
So yeah, this is early 20s, but he was skinny. He smoked a lot of weed. He had biggest dick.
I know exactly who you're talking about now. Oh my god! Yes. I don't know because of that. By the way, I want that to be very clear because that means I would have been with my husband at the time. And I want to be clear that I don't know because of that.
Holy crap. It was, where did that come from?
How long did it go on for though?
Oh, like a month.
Oh.
It was longer than it should have been, but also it was just, it was also longer than it should have been.
Exactly.
She might have needed a penicillin shot afterwards. You know.
Yeah. But he's successful and everything now. So good for him.
Oh, well,
you're
out of his line cook.
Yeah.
That's
he had a line cook season.
Should have held on to that, Christina. Yeah.
I know. I would have had to put in like 20 years of hard labor.
No, it's not worth the labor. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's worth the investment.
Yeah. Yeah. No. What about your line cook?
I dated mine. Oh. Like it wasn't. You loved, it wasn't a you month. Love to I just loved commit. A project. I love to commit. Yeah, I do. I commit right away. I've got real Pisces energy. It was just like right away. Fellow Pisces. It's why I don't date Pisces anymore.
Yeah.
I
cannot.
Also tall and skinny and smoked inside. So
yeah.
I smoked a lot of weed. Lot of weed.
Yeah.
So same. Also.
Oh my God. Good, I also dated a Pisces.
Had a beautiful, a beautiful penis.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Cassie? Oh, we know about my line cooking. It wasn't weed that he was smoking.
Oh, that's right. No. Yeah. That's
it was
right.
That was a bad move. But God damn, was the sex good.
Yeah.
I mean, standing up in the rain sex, shower sex.
Wow, that almost never works. Mm.
Stand up sex? And we don't even like sex in water, so it must have been really good.
We did it everywhere.
Yeah.
It was one of those. Yeah. I married my line cook, and that was the most expensive mistake I've ever made.
Yeah. See, that's why I said you can't marry.
But he wasn't a line cook. He was blue collar, but he was like a hot shot. He worked for the Forest Service, but the kind of guys where they fly them in and they cut the line around the fire with the tools.
Oh, that's so hot.
Rugged and tattooed. And it was 10 years of my life that I would give Thor anything to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave my youth to a musician. So, which is like line cook musician.
I think you went down too far. I think it's more like line cook music.
My line cook was a white rapper. So,
what in the SoundCloud just happened? Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh. So we don't need to talk about it.
Oh no! Did he rap to you, Keegan? You had to sit there.
Oh honey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wrote songs about
me. Support him.
I did. Oh God, yeah. Of course. And then he did also work. He worked at a restaurant.
Of course,
starting off as a line cook, and then was a bartender. Mm-hmm. But
No, those tracks. The tracks.
Oh my God! I need pictures immediately, if not sooner. Yeah,
but he was 6'7".
Oh well,
hey, tall. That's good.
And
tall and small works real well together. In case anyone didn't know.
Yeah.
My tallest was 6'6".
It works.
It works. Jealous.
And then we all pause to take a breath.
Yeah, exactly. We're like, reminiscing.
Do you have a sign? We just did a TikTok not that long ago about Keegan told this story on our Shorty podcast about somebody being indecisive, like about ordering their meal.
And it was a
I saw that.
Never seen another Libra.
He's like, nope, thanks. So do you have a sign that you're like, never again?
Not.
Scorpio.
They go?
Scorpio.
Yeah.
They're great in bed, but they are the devil incarnate, in my opinion.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
The one that wrecked me the most was a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. Like the one that broke my heart in a million pieces. This is a long time
water
ago.
Water signs will fuck you up for real. Yeah. They really will.
Mine was a Pisces.
In a real way. Mine was a Pisces.
Yeah.
Aries.
I've never dated a Pisces. And an Aries,
Well, I'm a Pisces, so I always say disclaimer. I love us, but I would never date another one of us.
Yeah, I love you, but I would never date. I would never date another Pisces.
Yeah,
I got to be honest. I would never date a Scorpio. I've never have dated a Scorpio. Scorpios and I, we want so badly to get along, but we just cannot. Mm. We just cannot.
Strong personalities.
I don't like Virgo either. I dated a Virgo guy for 6 months.
Pretty intense.
So everything was intense.
Yeah.
Everything. Like brushing your teeth in the morning was intense. I couldn't handle it. And he was like adored me and I was just like, "You're just too much."
Oh.
Which
no.
I'm a lot, but it was just I couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about that too.
Yeah.
Before. Like when somebody who's the over-liker, right? Like somebody you like that likes you too much. That's so awkward.
It really is.
You got to run. Yeah. If you're in a situation where you're like kind of lukewarm about somebody and they're like, "You are my sun and moon."
Oh,
and
you're like, "I got to get out of here." It makes me want to peel my skin off. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes to be adored, I think, but you want to be adored by the person that you just shine that right back to them and you feel the same. It's a little bit strange when you're not feeling it at all and someone's coming on so strong like that.
And they don't,
it's
uncomfortable. And they can't tell. Like that's the hard thing too, is like when they cannot tell that like they're not matching energies.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Because it makes me think that they're oblivious.
Or love bombing you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, both are good.
Yeah. I have a natural affinity to reject anybody who's overly nice to me.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. But yeah, if someone's nice to me too fast,
overly nice. Nice, I like. Overly nice is you can tell the difference too. It's like
between nice and trying too hard.
Yeah. Or it's just fake.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want from me? Like, I think that's why I'm so anti-romance in many ways. Like, I just don't like.
Oh, yeah. I have to do enemies to lovers. Because that's what I am in like real life.
My trope is real. I stick with it. I am strong.
Oh, my God. I just got to the glove moment in Sanditon. God. That's what you were talking about, right? This.
Oh. Yeah. Anyways,
there's a show on PBS called Sanditon. It's Jane Austen's final book that never got completed, and you know how she has the hand scene in Pride and Prejudice. Yeah. It's like there's another scene that's has that like
has the same energy.
Oh my! I mean the goosebumps. Yeah. The goosebumps that you're like, oh my god,
they're touching hands.
When is a hand forbidden? It's like the most innocuous thing, right? It's just innocuous.
Yeah,
but you've all been there. Like whenever you like kind of have a crush on somebody, and like your like knees touch or something, and you're like, that little bolt of electricity that happened.
You touch their hand for the first time, and you're like, oh no, yes. I'm in trouble. Yeah. Yep, I've only experienced that once.
Really?
That kind of energy once in my life, and that went on for a long time.
Yeah. It doesn't always translate to the best situation, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's like the line cook.
Oh, man. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Like, honestly, you are not to be rhymey, but a treasure. And we love having you. And
thank you so much.
Honestly, you're doing the Lord's work over there. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about where everybody can find you, Little Miss Marxist.
You can find me. I'm mostly on Instagram these days. But in the link in my bio on my Instagram, you can find me. I'm on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I do have a YouTube channel. It's kind of up and coming. I'm working on it.
Go for it.
And I'm really excited. Because I am launching a podcast.
Yes, you are.
with one of my really good friends. Her name's Sari Beth Rosenberg, and she is another big time political lefty girl. And we're starting a podcast. It's supposed to launch about June 1st, and it's called the Polytoxic Podcast.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So maybe someday I will like to have you guys on my show.
Yes. Well, you know we'd love that.
Well, we'll put all of your links to your socials our show notes so that people can find you. So if you are interested in finding Little Miss Marxist, please go to our show notes.
Yeah, and to find us, you can visit our one-stop shop of websites, mywarestatepodcast.com, coming soon with the War Out, Tour Out merch shirts.
Yes! No.
And we love you so much.
Cheers!
With my waddle. My waddle? My water bottle. Oh my God.